So let's look into this. And in particular, I want to look at this in the life of the great 18th century Japanese Zen master Hakuin, whose name, by the way, means whiteness, the earthy, the refined, the humorous, the severe, the wonderful Hakuin. So Hakuin was born into a pious Buddhist family, and at a very early age, he had doubt. He had doubt about life itself. At a young age, he was overwhelmed by impermanence and change, the impermanence and change of that went on. At the beach one day, seeing the clouds scud across the sky, seeing the waves coming in, feeling the wind blowing, he just fainted at all this change, all this restlessness, all this impermanence. Just swooned, it was too much. On one occasion he said, "Mother, is there nothing that doesn't change?" And Mother replied, "The Buddha's teaching, that always remains constant." So he went to the Buddhist temple with his mother to listen to lectures on the Lotus Sutra, which were rather simplistic and pious. And one preacher gave a vivid description of the fires of hell, the hell fires that you'd burn in if you harmed creatures. And poor old Hakuin, being a healthy little boy, had harmed creatures. So he got very worried, he got terrified, an enormous doubt and uncertainty was generated in him. What will happen to me? He'd pray to his family god, he'd pray to Kuan Yin, Avalokiteshvara. He wouldn't take a bath because in his home the bath water was heated up by a fire and it just reminded him of these terrible hells. He wanted certainty. So eventually at 15 he left home. He became a monk, entered a monastery, which he found really dull. He found the lectures on the White Lotus Sutra really boring. So he left the monastery and he became an unsui, a wandering monk, flowing with the rivers and breezes, following the way, visiting monasteries, visiting teachers. And he found his way to a monastery, and here he heard a story that plunged him into even more doubt. So, out of doubt of the uncertainty of life, he's following the Buddhist path. He's found something in the Buddha's teaching. He's a wanderer. He goes to find the teachings. Buddhism is the way, if you like. But now he comes across a story that really plunged him into doubt. Not just doubt, but spiritual despair. He wanted some sort of refuge, some sort of permanent, some safe place. Don't we all? And he heard at this monastery a story that deeply, deeply shocked him. It was the story of the great Yen Tu. Yen Tu, a great Chinese Chan master, again of the 9th century. A man of great attainment and strength. It said he had a backbone of iron. A great teacher with many disciples. And at that time in China, China was going through one of its upheavals, its periodic periods of anarchy. Groups of bandits were running amok. Smashing up monasteries and killing monks unless they paid tribute, paid a bribe, protection money, and they just smash places up, kill monks if they didn't get the money. It really was very rough. And one day a band of these brigands attacked Yen Tu's monastery, and all of Yen Tu's disciples just ran for it. It's an interesting story in itself. They just ran for it. Well, wouldn't we? But the old teacher, Yen Tu, was not going to move. Some of these old Chan masters are likened to blind donkeys because they're so stubborn, spiritually stubborn. So Yen Tu wasn't going to move, this old blind donkey. He just sat in meditation in the shrine hall while the monastery was being destroyed around him. And eventually the rough warriors, verminous warriors, came in. And they surrounded old Yen Tu and they said, "Come on, priest, give us the money. Show us where the gold is." And Yen Tu didn't say a word. He wasn't going to parley with them. He just sat, looking straight ahead. And so eventually the blows started to rain down and then the sword started to slash. Yen Tu was just being cut down where he sat. Until eventually he just gave a great cry, "Cut!" And then died. and the shout was heard for miles around. Now for Harquin, this was appalling. There was no romance in this story. It sounds very romantic. It wasn't for Harquin. This is just an old monk, cut down in a smashed up temple, his screams being heard for miles around. And Harquin thought, well, if that happens to somebody like Yen Tu, what about me? You know, I'm nowhere near that kind of quality, and he just gets killed. There's nothing more worthless than the life of a Buddhist monk. So Harquin just decided to pack it in, and he went off to study calligraphy and poetry with Master Bao. And of course this can happen to us, this sort of thing. There's parallels for us in our own way. We discover Buddhism, we take up the path, there's a lot of hope, a lot of expectation, everything's going to be okay. We're going to do good, we're going to do good with ourselves, we're going to do good in the world. But sooner or later we discover some things, you know, that make us feel kind of let down. Maybe we discover things about the Buddha that we don't like, you know, the way he kind of left his family and, you know, some of his teachings. They're a bit kind of hardline, a bit hardcore. Or we hear things about our spiritual friends, see things in our spiritual friends, people we put a lot of faith in, and we feel let down. Whatever, we begin to think that Buddhism doesn't really offer anything. It won't protect us, won't make things all right, so let's go and take up playing the cello or being a novelist or whatever it may be. Anyway, Harquin took up calligraphy and he was with the very demanding Master Bao, very tough. He's such a great teacher that everybody left. Everybody left except Harquin. I think, you know, people say a great teacher draws everybody out and everything. I think the great teacher, the really great teacher, would be that everybody leaves. Everybody goes, because he doesn't care whether you like him or not. Doesn't care. All he's concerned is that you really train and you really learn. But Harquin was tough, and he stayed with Master Bao and tended him and looked after him when he was sick. But then Harquin had another crisis. He realised, well, I'll never be as great as Li Po and Tu Fu. I'll never be a great poet. I'll never be a great calligrapher. Actually, he is regarded as a great calligrapher now. But he thought, well, I'll never be any good at that. Never be a master. So what to do is another big crisis. What am I going to do with my life? So he closed his eyes and kind of went over the books that Master Bao in his library and just pulled out a book at random, flicked it open. And it was a story of an old Chinese Zen master and about this Zen master's training and how, when he was meditating long into the night, he started to doze off and how he grabbed hold of a gimlet and just jabbed his thigh with it to wake him up. And Harquin thought, yes, that's real determination. That's real determination. Don't give up. Don't give up.